I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're two peas in a podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, April 11th, 2016.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So you had a busy week?
Oh, God, to say the least, yeah. It was a crazy week. I've been doing this occupational first aid level 2 course, and completely burned me out.
Was it more than one day?
It's a week.
Oh.
Yeah, wow. So Monday to Friday, and then the test is the following week.
And so you do this outside of work, right? You don't...
Yeah. So it's outside of work, thank God, because I would not be able to... it's all day. Like, it's...
Like 9 to 5? Okay, yeah.
8:30 to 4:30 in the morning, and it's intense, like, right from the beginning. There's no time to mingle and chat in class. And it's super intense. Like, to be a student again after so long, my brain just feels so overwhelmed with information.
Yeah, I went to a press club event 2 weeks ago. And it was at SFU downtown, so it was in one of those lecture halls. So I haven't been in one of those lecture halls in years.
Right.
And so it was odd going back there. And so it was a panel discussion. And so everyone's taking notes. I'm taking notes as well. Most of the people in the room who are either younger than me, even those that were older than me, all had laptops and or were typing away on their iPads or whatever, their tablets. And so I only brought paper and a pen. And so I was taking notes down, and then there was some older people who were doing the same, right, with pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reporter, so they all had those little wire notepads,
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. Like so, I would.
Yeah, and so it was strange being in a classroom again. And
I don't know, I just find my brain doesn't retain the information the same way it used to.
And I take notes all the time, even when I'm doing interviews for the show.
Right.
And, like, even if I'm, as I'm chatting with you. But I never look at them again. So it's just, I guess, a reflex that you
it's
just have
It's just a natural thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love taking notes.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, like, actually, that just reminds me, I have some notes that I need to type out, but... I oftentimes sit in meetings now, and I can, I type notes out on my iPad as well, or my Mac, as the person's speaking, or as, the dialogue is happening, or I scribble some notes down on a piece of paper, and that's what I had for this class. But I mean, it was so intense, like, there's not a moment that she's really going to repeat anything for you to take notes. And she's talking really fast. You got maybe 20 to 30 minutes actually sitting in your desk reviewing, and the rest is all on the floor, doing the practical. So if you're on the floor, there's not a lot of note-taking that's going on.
They clean the dummies, right?
Yes.
What do they clean it with, alcohol?
Isopropyl alcohol, yes. Yeah. They're called Annies, actually.
That's the name of the thing?
Annies.
Okay.
I
took first aid for work, and not because I need it for my job, but because I guess the company had... So it was one day. So it was one day. And
okay.
I guess that's not the level that you're on, obviously, but...
No, I was hoping you were saying a week. I was going to ask you for some tips.
I passed the thing, but I haven't... Like, I've never used it. I mean, I can't remember...
God.
And I've never, that's a good thing, that I haven't used it. But I've never, like, I couldn't remember, like, if someone fell down now, I'd call 911 before I actually tried to,
try and assist with your first aid.
Yeah, put a trach through their throat.
Oh, please don't do that. Yeah, that's not necessary. They've just fallen.
But you were talking about this on Facebook, and then someone had posted the office first aid.
Oh, my God.
From the sitcom.
Isn't that hilarious? Did you watch that clip? It's so The Office.
Yeah.
Hilarious. But it's easy to... I mean, we were not having that much fun in our class, I'll tell you right now. It was not that fun. Our teacher, I was joking at first, but I was like, oh my God. When I walked in, I was like, this woman's like a Nazi, man. Like, she's the first aid Nazi. And then, sure enough, it, like, the first 2 days, she was like so hard with us. By day three, she said, you know, I can loosen up a bit because, you know, you guys, I can see you're not like some of my other classes. She said some of her other classes, she's had like grown men break out into fights.
Huh.
But she said she's German.
Why would they? Why would they break out? They wanted the doll that the other guy had. I mean, why would they break out in fights at a first?
She said it was a guy that was chewing gum.
Mm.
One of them was chewing gum, and you know when you're doing this first aid, you're in really close contact with your partner. And so he was doing a C-spine control, which is basically your face is in the other person's face as you're trying to stabilize their neck. And this guy was chewing gum like a cow in his ear, basically. And
well, that's better if that he's chewing gum rather than having, say, his lunch breath, right?
It's true. No, this is true. But, you know, when people have that, like, if you chew like
they're
a
smacking.
Cow,
yeah, okay.
That's annoying to me, too. I could, you know, I could see that being really annoying to somebody, and the other guy just snapped, and he got up and wanted to scrap it out, and they started throwing fists, so she told them if they wanted to fight, they could go out to the parking lot. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, that's encouraging, yeah.
Yeah. And so she didn't stop it. She said you could, just not in here.
So you're doing things that obviously that I didn't do because I mean the only thing that I remember is sort of CPR, bandaging up say something, making sure you were checking for pulses and
so you probably did like level one.
Yeah, it was the only one day, so it was like from 9 to 5.
Yeah, this
and then
is
we did the test on the same day.
Yeah, this is a week and it's level 2 occupational first aid, and I mean I work in an office. But I guess I really don't know what constitutes the need for a level 2. But either way, I'm taking it because it's multifunctional. I can use it in other areas of life, and it's transferable, right?
Yeah. So, what? I forgot what I was going to ask you, but I guess you take it for work, so. If something happens, I guess you would be called upon to do it. Because I remember when they said, "Would you want to?" Because they have an extra slot open. Do you want to? I said, "Well, I don't really want to be the contact person."
Right.
You know. So.
Well, there are in our workplace. I have in my building. There's I'd say less than 200 employees in the building.
Yeah.
But for all 200 employees, we have 4 floors, and we have currently I think about 4. First aid attendant, 3 or 4 of them. Out of those 3 or 4, all of them are male, right?
Yeah.
So I would be the only female first aid attendant now, which is good because it adds some diversity to the mix. And also, you know, some of the guys are a little uncomfortable with certain situations that have happened because, to be honest...
But if you're dying, I think you'd want help from anybody.
It doesn't matter, right? Yeah, I know. But I know there's been cases of somebody collapsing, and it was a female, and, you know, she wasn't, I wasn't there, but either way, they were hoping that a female was there.
And so, even if you're not, like, I'm not the person at work, at our office, who has to step up. And, you know, I work in Vancouver, so I'm in, the ambulance is going to be there rather quickly, I would assume, right? But the guy, I remember when we did the test, he said once you get the certificate, you have to, I guess, help when situations.
Yeah, you have, like, an obligation.
Yeah.
If you see somebody in
But these things expire, so I haven't done it in about, it's probably 4 years now since, so mine's expired, I'm sure,
yours,
right?
Yours is probably, yeah.
So I have no obligation now to help.
I'm not sure. Depending on what your level is, I'm pretty sure it probably is. I know with this one, I'd have to redo it every 3 years, which I'm not looking forward to, but I assume if you've done it once, it should be all... You know.
Yeah, well, I think you do it every 3 years to get the new
to keep you up to par, right?
Yeah, or so you get the new you're certified or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah, my...
But would you want to do that, though? I mean, someone collapses on the SkyTrain platform, would you want to be the person?
Honestly, not really. Like she said, actually, my instructor did say, in at work, you have an obligation.
Yeah.
But when you're outside of work, it's really just your own moral compass.
See, I just realized when I said that, people might think that I don't want to, you know, help people. No, it's not that.
You probably don't.
No, I do. I would want to. But the thing is, let's say someone broke their neck or something and I moved them, and then I've harmed them irreparably. I would hate that. And do I have, am I responsible at that time?
Life over limb, right? What's better? You might be crippled, but you're alive.
Yeah, but would they sue you if you, like, you know, screwed up?
Who knows? Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. It's a liability. That's why you...
Because I saw that on the Global News a couple weeks ago. They said...
I'm sure, yeah. Like, in the world we live in, I'm sure somebody would probably sue you. Yeah.
But that's the point that people don't help, is because they're afraid of that.
The liability.
Yeah.
That comes with it. I can totally see and agree with that. But as we're trained, it's life over limb, right? So, yeah, okay, your intention is not to cripple them, obviously. But if you do, the main point is that you've saved their life and they're breathing. Our main objective as a first aid attendant is to keep them breathing, to keep them alive.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important to know, you know, practice head and neck control and all those things. But life over limb, again, it's up to you. You're not an actual ambulance attendant, so then what you do in the public is completely up to you.
But that doesn't stop, I guess, us from giving advice to people.
I was just going to say, like, maybe you could walk some, hey, come, need you to get over here and give this person first aid.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it, but you can. But yeah, walk somebody through it. I don't see why that wouldn't work.
And see, the problem with me, though, is I forgot most of these things now.
Oh, God.
I remember just not to move the neck because you could, you know, harm them, I guess.
Yeah, just stabilize it.
Yeah.
So common sense, really.
Yeah.
What I should tell myself, that since I got to write this test, I'd do the actual stuff.
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, Jacob Bernstein, who's a writer with the New York Times, his mother is Nora Ephron, the film writer. She also wrote novels and directed films. And his father is Carl Bernstein from Woodward and Bernstein. You know, they wrote about Watergate, broke Watergate.
Right.
Nora Ephron is a... She died about 3-4 years ago or so, and so there's this new documentary on HBO, Everything is Copy, which was excellent, and it reminded me a lot of just how witty Ms. Ephron was, and clever and smart and all those things. You know, she had a wit about her that was, like, you know, comparable to, say, Dorothy Parker.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pulled out my copy of The Most of Nora Ephron, which is a collection of her writing. After I'd seen the film, and there's a great piece near the back, What I Wish I'd Known, and it's just a list of things that she pieces of advice, and by the way, if people do pick it up, it's from Knopf. It's called The Most of Nora Ephron. I've been sending it to writer friends of mine because she's just a tremendous writer,
right?
And I think people can learn a lot if you read her. Is there advice that you give people nowadays in terms of, just say, from your own experience, because you have lived X number of years, people younger than you that might seek advice, is there stuff that you tell them yourself?
Yeah, you know, I've been telling some of the younger people, like at work, you're not old enough to have a bad attitude yet. That comes with age. And time.
Did you really believe that, though? I mean, because
I do.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that to a certain extent, but I also don't think that being old gives you the right to be a dick or a bitch or a scold.
It doesn't give you the right, but it means you. But you've definitely lived a few more years longer of maybe some pain and suffering that will bring you to that point, right?
Huh.
It doesn't give you a right, though. But I mean, you know, I work with some. I mean, I work with a younger girl who is in a position that I was in years ago when I started, and when her attitude comes out, I somewhat see myself in her. So I've given her the advice to, you know, maybe tone it down a bit because it doesn't come off very well. I didn't see it when I would do it.
Mm.
But, you know, now
so
I
see
it.
So it's something you've learned, I guess. Yeah,
it's something I've learned through time, right, in my age. And I'm not old, but I can say in the time that I've been there, I've, you know, you learn things. And that's, you know, I just... little pieces of advice. And
yeah, when you, because you have two daughters, mm-hmm. and you were their age once. I mean, do they ask you about what you were like when you were their age?
Yeah, unfortunately.
And so,
I tell them, I tell Simone is, my mom used to say it to me all the time, and I used to hate it so much. Birds of a feather flock together, you know. If your friends are doing this, you can't hang out with people that are clearly a bad influence. Regardless of what you're doing, people are going to think you're the same way. And yeah, people shouldn't judge, but that's just how life is, right? And that's a reality. So I that's one piece of advice that I give my daughter. You got to be careful of who you're hanging around with.
And so when your mom warned you about that, I mean, I know some of your friends. They didn't turn out that bad, did they?
Well, no, not all of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them. But, you know, she's right, especially as I got older. I mean, it was really, you know, especially when your mom's saying it, right? It's more of a defiant thing, like, okay, sure thing, Mom. Just because she does that doesn't mean I am. But... I mean, and that's the point. Regardless of if you're doing it or not, people don't see the inside, and they will judge you based on the people that you hang around with.
So if your mom's listening this morning, are you willing to say that she was right?
Not at this time. No. We're not going that far. She had a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's, you know, because to go back to an earlier point, I mean, I've always thought that just because you're older doesn't mean you're smarter than, you know what I mean? And because we're the same age, and I remember even at work 10 years ago, so I had to be 24,
mm-hmm.
and I would be giving people advice or telling people what's, say, right and what's wrong.
Right.
And people would be shocked at first that someone 24 would have some insight, but I mean, it's...
Well, you're so well beyond your years.
I guess so.
even when you were younger, like Jesus, you know.
But so some of the things here that Nora Ephron wrote in her piece, "What I Wish I'd Known," the first one: people have only one way to be.
Mhm.
So I guess you can't change people. I guess if you're in a relationship or something like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, what about that point that people grow? And people, sure. I mean, people do change that way, don't they?
Sure, people grow, but like just like Nora Ephron says, that's like another great Maya Angelou quote. When somebody shows you who they are for the first time, believe them.
That's who they really are?
That's who they are. When somebody shows you their true colors at the point of frustration and whatever kind of time they are in their life, that's their real self showing themselves to you. They're presenting themselves. A lot of people choose to say, oh no, that was just, they were mad or they were upset. But that's the best time to kind of gauge somebody and who they are really like under pressure. That's who they are. And yeah, we can't change that. That's also another great lesson.
The second one, buy, don't rent. But I guess in Vancouver, that's impossible.
Well, yeah, in this city, if you're not renting, you're on the street. Oh, I don't know where you are.
So I'm just going to, it's about, I can't remember how many are on here, and I can't count quick enough, but I mean, I'm just going to read a couple and then and get your thoughts. Mm-hmm. The plane is not going to crash. I mean, I don't know, do you know anybody, like personally,
yep,
who's been in a plane crash?
Oh,
whether they survived or
funny,
the, yeah,
no.
Well, no, yeah, so I mean,
I,
yeah, so I, you know, I've encountered a lot of people over the years, so I don't think, and they don't have to die, obviously. I mean, it's just the planes crash all the time where people survive.
I guess. I don't know. Have you ever? I've never met. I'll tell you right now, if I did, I'd probably never fly again because I already have enough fear of flying.
But you know that the, I mean, Nora Ephron says a plane's not going to crash. That doesn't do anything for you?
She doesn't know that, and neither do I. you think the friggin' people that maybe read this shit on 9/11 or something, they probably read this and like, oh yeah, Norris, it's not going to crash. We're good. No.
What about, you remember
things
when
happened.
Yeah, remember when Malaysian Airlines, remember they had two crashes?
Oh yeah.
Now,
what happened with those planes?
Yeah, what would you, like after all this happened, people said, well, we're not going to fly Malaysian Airlines. Would that be something that you would think about, say, and fly with them? Because, well, you know, I mean, lightning doesn't strike twice, or, well, I guess it did twice.
Well, I'd be
or three times.
I'd be extremely weary to fly with them. But, again, it's flying in general. After, it's a plane, that's the bottom line, right? It's that mode of transportation they use.
So what are you like then on a flight? I mean, are you like gripping the handle?
I'm usually on. I've taken drugs. I've taken an Ativan too.
Yeah.
Sedate me, pretty much. I take it usually just before, just when I'm getting into that, just before I get into the security line, I take it because that line takes a while, and usually that's usually when my anxiety kicks in. Even though I don't have anything on me. That whole process just gets me really worked up of going through security and then getting on the plane. And to be honest, I'd prefer to not talk to people next to me. I hate to feel like I have to talk to my neighbor.
Yeah.
So if I'm a little like sedated, I feel I'm a bit more relaxed and I can sit on my flight and just fall asleep and not, you know, just feel relaxed.
So you're not like this, I guess, if you're riding a train or a Greyhound, say?
No.
No, okay. So it's just it's planes in general. Yeah.
It's just the planes. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
Yeah, I've got to fly at the end of the month, and I'm just thinking, I'm usually not, but it always, you know, these things come into my head, because they always say that the plane crashes either at the beginning of the flight or the end of the flight. So I'm always thinking, well, is this it? But I'm not, you know, I'm not drinking or anything like that, or popping a pill or gripping the seat.
Oh, God,
no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I guess I'm more afraid of terrorism than I am, say, the plane crash.
Well, that too now. Like, on, just thinking about it just scares the crap out of me. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Yeah, so
we'll
back
move
to
on from that.
Back to Nora's list. Write everything down. That's one, and then the next one after is keep a journal. I used to keep a diary, a journal, but I stopped doing that about 15 years ago, and I kind of wish I did, but it's not like I'm going to take it up again.
I've tried taking it up again recently. It's just, it's so difficult. I don't even know what to write about. I feel like I don't even know how to write anymore.
Yeah, so what I do, I mean, because I like to remember places I've been in the sort, so I check in on Facebook.
Right. Yeah, I know. You do that.
Yeah, so that's my way of remembering.
Right, of where you've been and what you did that day.
And it's a great thing that on this day thing that's on Facebook, you can see what you did that day.
I know, that's,
yeah.
Actually, I like that. It's great.
The sad part is something came up the other day, and I looked at the year, and it was like 3 years ago, and I remember it as being like 6 months ago.
See, isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's, I guess it's growing old, right?
I think, yeah, that's us getting old.
Yeah.
Like, wasn't that just 6 months ago? No, that was 3 years ago.
Yeah. Take more pictures. Do you do a lot of that?
I try.
I remember we went to lunch about a few months ago with an old friend of ours from elementary school.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Did you come out?
No, but I remember we took a photo at the end of the lunch. Your daughter took a picture of us.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I kind of wish that I'd do that more. I mean, I have an aunt that I go to lunch with all the time, and she's always taking pictures. And a lot of people think that's odd, but, you know, I get Nora's point that it is that you should, right?
Oh, yeah, you remember those, you know, there's even times I go through my phone sometimes and look at photos that I forgot I've taken.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, kind of brings you back to that time and place, and it, you know, kind of enlightens your heart a bit. It's nice.
Yeah, I've got photos in my office and like on the wall.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good way to remind. I mean, because I don't see friends often. I mean, the last time I saw you was a few months ago, but I mean, sometimes it'd be years between we'd see each other.
Oh,
yeah,
for sure.
And the same with other friends. So I mean,
and we don't even live that far away from each other, too. That's a crazy thing. It's just life.
Yeah, I have a cousin who lives half a block from me, and I went years without seeing him.
See?
And so...
It happens.
Yeah. So, you know, I would take that advice, and I would take more pictures if given the opportunity.
So that's a goal. We should set that. So we'll start taking more pictures.
Sure. And then
we're getting older, so we need to remember
while we
still look decent.
Yeah.
You know.
You can order more than one dessert.
Huh.
I mean,
that's questionable.
Well, when I go to dinner with people, sometimes you're already full from the meal.
Right.
And it's been years since I've been to dinner with someone and they've ordered a dessert and I've ordered a dessert. But I mean, if that happens, you go with swap or share, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm usually end up sharing a dessert with the person I'm with, and
depends on how good it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
but you'd like to try everything too. I mean, you know,
I like to try everything. I definitely couldn't see myself ordering two desserts unless I was like, you know, it was like one of those, you know, at Cactus or even White Spot, they've got like those little mini.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Desserts. Like if it was an assortment of those, sure. But you know. I went to this one place with a friend, and she ordered a cheesecake. I ordered the carrot cake. It was a big slab of carrot cake. It was so good. I was not interested in sharing that. So yeah, I wasn't going to share that. But I also didn't need two pieces because it was so big.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, whatever. Live it up, right?
If only one-third of your clothes are mistakes, you're ahead of the game.
Only a third?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of my, because I have clothes, and I'm trying to think of...
Oh, you have clothes. That's good.
But I mean, the thing is, I only wear...
I know, right?
Half of what I actually have.
Yeah. I probably wear less than half of what I actually have.
Yeah. But I mean, now that I'm older, I don't get clothes as gifts. And,
no.
And so I buy my own stuff, so
I don't feel,
sometimes you get gifts from people and they're just terrible. And so,
they're horrid, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I never buy anything that I would think would be a mistake anyway.
I wish I would still get gift cards, though.
So you buy your own stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess there's more on this list. People should pick up the book and read it. But we'll go out on this one. If friends ask you to be their child's guardian in case they die in a plane crash, you can say no.
But the plane's not going to crash. So what's that about?
But I mean, you know that this has been on sitcoms and novels even where this just ruins the relationship between friends because the people that they ask to be the guardians are uncomfortable,
right.
And then this offends the parents.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think what show this was, but I can't think off the top of my head. I guess it was, I won't say what, because it'll probably be wrong. But, I do think...
No, I've heard of it, and it feels, you know what, too? It's like, it's awkward, too, asking somebody to be the guardian of your child also, because, you know... You want to put that pressure on someone either.
But I mean, as a parent, you've thought about it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest thing to, I asked my brother.
Yeah.
And that's the easiest. That's okay. I can put the guilt on him. He's their uncle. It's like an obligation. I'm his older sister. If I die, I need to know that you can take care of your nieces. Give me a break. If you can't even do that, what can you do? So that's all.
Yeah. I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Have a good one.
You too.
That's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, April 11th, 2016.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre.